It's episode 124 of Unstuck, and in this episode, we're going to find out if you have an upper limit problem, and if so, how it might be affecting your business. So stay tuned. I'm Shawn Miner, and this is Unstuck, a space for heart-centered entrepreneurs to implement both the inner work and outer strategies required to get unstuck and build the impactful, profitable business of their dreams. No hustle, grind, or long hours required. Let's get into today's session. Hey, hey there, friend. Welcome back to the Unstuck podcast. Thank you all so, so much for being here. If you've been around the show for a while, welcome back. So grateful for you and your support and everything you do for this show. If this is your first episode, welcome. Happy to have you. Feel free to look around after this episode and see what other episodes may be calling to you. There are now 123 other episodes specifically for mindset and energy and even practical tips for you and your business and your success. So feel free to look around after this episode. A few quick things before we get in talking about upper limit problems. First of all, I mentioned last episode, let me mention it again, the Solopreneur Quiz is now out and ready for you, hot off the presses. This one is good, my friends. You definitely want to take this. It is going to help you figure out if you are building the right business based on the personality, based on the traits, based on the energy that you have to bring into your business. Kind of important that those things are in alignment, which is why I created this quiz. It's the What's Your Solopreneur Personality Type Quiz. You can take that quiz over at shawnminer.com/solopreneurquiz, or just go to my homepage and it's right there too. Whatever's easiest for you, but you definitely are gonna wanna know. It's really, really fun. There's four different types. I'll probably do an episode in the future about the four different types because I think they're really fun and you're gonna wanna know which one you are so you can pay attention. So head over there and take the quiz. The second thing I've mentioned a few times now, but wanna make sure that you know it's out and ready for you, is a free 1 hour masterclass all around signature programs. So those online, typically, although they don't have to be, group coaching programs that allow you to work with more than one client at a time and also allow you to kind of package all of the tips and tricks and tools and coaching and support and community and everything that you want your clients to have access to. You package it up into this kind of online hub, I like to think of it, where everyone, all of your clients can go through together and you can be there to support them without actually being there all the time and having a little bit more freedom and flexibility in your schedule, creating more boundaries around your precious time and getting back time essentially because of the group coaching model. So if that's something that you want to include in your business, free 1 hour masterclass to help you get started. And what it's really doing is sharing with you what I've learned in the past 5 years of creating my own programs and creating 6 programs in those 5 years, what I've learned are the secrets to actually make it a successful online program. Head to shawnminer.com/program masterclass if you want to register for that free 1 hour session. You can do that there. So save your seat at shawnminer.com/program masterclass. All right, I want to kick this episode off with a story because it's going to set the stage for what we're going to talk about today, which is the upper limit problem. This was back in 2017. I had just launched my Keto for Women show podcast, like just that week launched, with 2 episodes that came out. I had my first program running, my first online program running, had been for about 6 months at the time and doing really well. And I launched my podcast with two episodes and was immediately contacted by someone who is really big in the keto space. The Keto for Women show that I had just created was contacted by a really big, well-known person in the keto space to be a guest on their podcast, a guest co-host. And this was happening like 2 days from when he asked me. I, of course, freaked out because ego voice, hello, huge opportunity, really would kick off this podcast. It would get in front of thousands and thousands of people who are the perfect fit to listen to this show. And it scared the crap out of me. I wanted to say no. I really wanted to say no, but of course I said yes. I accepted, told him how excited I was, and we started preparing. And I don't know the exact days, but I remember we were recording the episode on a Monday. And so he must have asked me like Thursday or Friday of that week, the week before. And then Saturday came and I started getting sick. And at that point in my life, I was dealing with the mold stuff. So used to not feeling well, but it wasn't that. It was, you're not going to believe this, a sore throat. I started coughing. I started having this scratchiness in my throat. And of course, started freaking out. And really what I immediately went to was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm going to have to cancel. I'm never going to get this opportunity again. These kinds of thoughts, kind of racing thoughts. I was really worried. But at the same time, if I really look back now and can think of it in this way, kind of relieved because I was super scared to go on this big show in front of thousands of people when I had just dipped my toe in the water of this keto space and started my own podcast and only two episodes were even out. And then to go in front of so many people, me on such a big stage, I was a nervous wreck. So part of me was really relieved, but also why was this happening? What was going on? Why now of all the times? I am very rarely ever like lose my voice or have even like a cold or sore throat or anything like that. It's very rare for me. Why was it happening then? And luckily, I was really thinking I was going to wait until Saturday evening because I didn't want to cancel last minute. Wait till Saturday evening, see if anything got worse or better before I connected with him and told him what was going on. Luckily, I talked to my mom that afternoon and she convinced me or reminded me really, like, who cares? You can't give up on this opportunity just because your voice might be a little scratchy. And this is something that you have to follow through with because it's something that's so important to you. It's something you know you want to do. It's something that is going to reach the ears of the people that you want to reach in a way that you can help them that no one else they're currently listening to or working with can, because at the time it was very rare to have a female doing anything in the keto space. And just reminding me of what my ultimate goal was and my ultimate purpose was, and that I really, having a sore throat, having a raspy voice for this interview doesn't matter in the long run. And what does really matter? So having this pep talk with my mom, decided to just go with it. Doesn't matter. Even if my voice is like practically gone, I'm still going to show up for this interview. And so doing all the things to try to help to get out of the sickness, and woke up Sunday morning completely fine. Completely fine. I went on to do the show that Monday. It was a huge hit. I still have people to this day, this was in 2017, still have people to this day that tell me they found me because of that episode. It was really something that helped me get in front of the right people at that time. It was something that really helped me grow my podcast listenership and thus helped me grow my program and my business overall. It was a huge opportunity and one that I am forever grateful for. And even more so, I'm forever grateful really for my mom, but to understand and to recognize what an opportunity it was and to follow through with it, even though it was scary, even though it was completely outside of my comfort zone at the time, and do it anyway. Now, looking back on that, however many years later we are, 5-6 years later, I can see what was really happening. And I think you guys can see what was really happening too, because it actually happens quite a bit. And I don't think there's anyone on this planet who is immune to having an upper limit problem. Even the most successful, most wealthy people out there still have these moments of doubt, of fear, of worry. So really, none of us are immune to this feeling of an upper limit. I didn't know that this is what was going on at the time, and I really didn't know that there was even a word for it or a name for it or people talking about it in this way until a few years ago when I stumbled across the book The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And this book is amazing. I've read it twice now, and then in doing these notes for today's episode made me want to start reading it again, so I'm going to read it for a third time. It is so well done. It is so important of a read for every single person. You guys will love it. You know, I love giving you book recommendations. I feel like I do it on almost every episode these days. But these books are just so valuable, like such amazing information that will truly change your life. And so this episode is meant to kind of give a highlight to what's really in the book and what could really be going on if you have an upper limit problem, and if that is what is affecting your business, keeping your business stalled out potentially. That is the point of this episode. It took me 12 minutes almost to get there, but here we are, and I hope that story helps you see what I'm actually talking about. So let's kick it off with a quote straight from the book. There's so many that I could have chosen from, but this one kind of just stuck out for me for this particular episode. We're born into stories that keep us from accessing our genius. Obviously, Gay Hendricks. We're born into stories that keep us from accessing our genius. And that is what we're going to talk about today, where this upper limit problem comes from, how it looks, how it's showing up for you, and what you can do to reverse out of that. It's very similar, as you'll see, to the other things that we talk about here on Unstuck. When we talk about our limiting beliefs and our blocks and all these things holding us back, very similar, but I feel like this one shows up a little bit differently, potentially, when it is an upper limit problem. So first, what is it? An upper limit problem is essentially how we sabotage ourselves when we achieve success or are about to achieve success. So when things start getting really good in our lives, and we're talking specifically, because we talk about business here, about success, business, wealth, that kind of thing, but this happens in all areas of your life. So when things start getting good, you subconsciously do something or even think something to sabotage that good feeling, to get you back to a place where you feel not as good, not as happy, not as successful, whatever it is, because that is what you're used to and that is the barometer that you've set for yourself. You're used to, you're familiar with, you're comfortable with living in this place of feeling okay, or maybe not even okay, maybe something worse, maybe something slightly better, but you're not used to and you haven't set your barometer to be able to or to feel comfortable in feeling great and feeling amazing and feeling successful and feeling joy and just feeling like this tingle of all this amazing stuff happening at once. And because that is unfamiliar, it's not something that you've set yourself up to expect, when it happens, it is uncomfortable. And that discomfort, that feeling of being out of your safe space, out of your comfort zone, means that you go through the thoughts, the actions to drop you back down to where you do feel comfortable, where you do feel safe, where you're used to being. And so it looks like this, like the pattern is this: feel really good, mess it up, get close to feeling good, keep it from happening, feel really good, mess it up, get close to feeling good, keep it from happening. It's this cycle over and over and over again. So you're always just kind of in this middle average space. So common examples. The story I just said is obviously a great example, which is why I wanted to share it with you on this episode. Getting sick before a big event, before something that would really catapult you to the next level. Or even just in general life, and I hear these stories all the time. People plan these amazing vacations of their dreams, like they've saved up for it, they've waited years for it, they have all this buildup for this dream vacation that they just cannot wait to take, and then they get sick on vacation. They get sick the day before they go and they don't go, or they get sick the day of and they spend all week or all 2 weeks not feeling like themselves. That is an upper limit problem. Also, in general life terms, picking fights or having arguments in your relationship just because things are starting to be too good, they're starting to go too well, it feels too right. So you mess it up, you mess that relationship up by picking fights that aren't actually there, having arguments about something that doesn't matter. That happens a lot too. Specifically in business, you're about to make a big step in your business. You're about to put yourself out there in a new way. You're going to launch something. You're going to sell something. Something big is going to happen, something kind of scary. And then you get sick, or all of a sudden your kid has this big project in school that needs your time, or the family is coming to visit and you have to clean the house for 2 weeks. Like, there's something that stops you that seems on the outside like a legit kind of excuse, almost, we'll call it, like in a legit thing that happens. But in reality, if you really peel back the layers of the onion, it's an upper limit problem. Or another example, you do put yourself out there, you do have a launch, you get some clients or you have some success, but you talk yourself out of being happy about it because I didn't reach my goal. It wasn't a big deal that I had these few clients. I really wanted this to happen. So I'm actually kind of upset. Like, oh yeah, no, it didn't happen. I'm not going to celebrate the clients I did get or the launch that I did have. Upper limit problem. Last example here. You have all these plans or dreams to start your own business. And I know I have a lot of people listening who haven't officially started their business yet. So you have these plans and these dreams, and you know how you want it to look and feel and all the success that you want to have, but then you never do it. There's always something. You don't have the money, you don't have the time, you don't have the resources, you don't have the help, you don't know how. These stories keep you from actually taking that next scary step because of the upper limit problem. So why does this happen? Why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we keep ourselves from feeling this amazing happiness and joy and success and all these things that we actually want and yet are keeping ourselves from having it? So there's a part of ourselves that fears being truly happy, fears being truly successful, fears being truly wealthy, because, like I mentioned, it's something new. It's something you've never experienced before or felt before. And we know a lot now, because we talk about it in every episode, that ego voice. We know a lot about that voice in our heads now. The ego voice, the ego part of our mind, doesn't recognize the difference between good feeling and bad feeling or anything like the desire versus undesire. All it knows is new, scary, uncomfortable, don't go there. So it could be something good, it could be something bad. That's irrelevant. What it is worried about, and really its main job, is to keep you safe and comfortable. And that new place of utter happiness and joy and wealth and excitement and success and all these things that you want your business to bring are not in that comfort zone. And they're new. They're not something you've experienced before. And so your ego is going to get in the way. It's going to put a brake, put a stop to you getting to that space where it is unknown. And in the book, The Big Leap, he does a great job of explaining it in terms of like a thermostat. So we all have a thermostat that we set from a very young age. And this is like before you even know or care about money or success or your job or your business, your achievements, anything like that. So, as you probably have guessed, the thing that sets our barometer are our parents or whoever we are around when our subconscious mind is being developed, which, as we probably know by now, is mostly happening before the age of 7. That is when our thermostats get set for the most part. There will be some, a little bit more creation as you continue to go and as you do learn more about yourself and success and business and all these things, but it will be coming from outside sources, from media, more from your parents or more from your friends or other family members, and it will continue to develop from there. But we have this thermostat in every area of our lives. We have a thermostat. I can make this much money. I can be this well known. I can achieve this level of success. I can be this happy. I can be this loved. We all have these thermostats set, and it's very hard naturally without having this awareness that we're building around it to get out of that space, go beyond that thermostat. So if you had these stories, if you were told, if you were guided from a young age that it's hard to make money, that successful people are evil or greedy, if you have specific stories about you and your capabilities that were passed down to you from a young age, like you're not smart enough, you're not capable enough to actually do all of this, then your barometer is going to be set really low. And so you are going to be up against a pretty big upper limit problem the second you seek to go beyond what you have already set for yourself. So I can only be this successful. I can only make this much money. As soon as you try to go beyond that, sabotage sets in. Here's how I have 5 different ways that it shows up in your lives. Obviously, this is not everything, but a couple things to consider. And I think probably the 5 main biggest ones, how it shows up for you, it could be through guilt. So when we have these set points that we feel comfortable in, a lot of times they get set and we abide by them because we will feel guilty if we are happier or wealthier or more successful. Maybe we'll feel guilty because our parents didn't have that, or our family members, our friends. If you go above and beyond what you have deemed possible for you and what other people in your experience are doing, then it often comes with these thoughts of feeling guilty because you have exceeded what other people have done around you. And that sounds crazy, but if you really think about it, that is legit. And I think there's a lot of you out there that when you actually do the work to really think about this and bring some awareness to it, that would agree that there is this feeling of potential guilt if you do, you know, become a millionaire or have this crazy successful business. There might be something there for you to really uncover. And this goes along quite well with 2, which is worry. If you are a worrier you have an upper limit problem. Hey, guess what? I am a worrier. I always have been. I think it was passed down from my grandma, who was like the ultimate worry wart, but I'm really finding myself in that place too. And I thankfully have figured out so many tools along the way that I can use to get myself out of that and to bring myself out. All of these things that I do around mindfulness and awareness and self-compassion and self-love and these kinds of things really help me. But I also can see that I have to work to get out of that space of worry a lot of times because of an upper limit problem. So think about it. And really, this is the case with all of them, but especially with worry. When you are worrying about something, it typically is going to bring you back down to not feeling as good as you could. Like if something really great is happening or happened, and then you start worrying that it's not going to last, that something bad is going to happen as a result, that it can't possibly be true, that now this, this, and this is going to happen because this great thing is happening, bringing you back down, bringing that temperature, that thermostat back down to your comfort zone. Or if something hasn't happened yet, but it's on the brink of something really amazing happening, and then you start worrying or start thinking about the what ifs. Well, if this happens, then this might happen. Again, bringing you back down. And that's all because of worry. And when we're talking about guilt and feeling that guilt for being super happy, super successful, super wealthy, whatever it is, you might also then start worrying about what others will think of you when you are super happy or wealthy or successful or whatever it is, and that you'll be ostracized potentially from your family or your friend group, that you'll start, you know, you'll be abandoned because people will start thinking of you differently, start looking at you differently because you've achieved this level that most people have not. So worry in a lot of different cases, a lot of different ways. If you are someone who worries, next time you're in that place, figure out the upper limit problem there. See if it is in action there where it's keeping you from really feeling the wonderfulness that is right there. The next one is doubt. So an upper limit problem also looks very, very much like self-doubt, questioning whether you're really capable of being that happy, that wealthy, that successful, that loved. You start into this place of questioning everything, questioning if this is really true, questioning if it really could be, doubting that you could actually ever get there, doubting that this is really happening, knowing that something is bad is going to happen because this just happened, and doubting all of its existence as being really truly what it is. You just being that happy, you just being that successful, you just being that wealthy, you just being that loved, and not just accepting it as it is. Moving on to number four, when this happens, it typically shows up as sabotage. And I think sabotage is such an interesting thing because so many people, and I won't say everybody, but a lot of people know when they are sabotaging themselves. It's like so much of this other stuff can kind of go on in the background and we aren't really truly aware, although now you will be because you've had this conversation. Now you'll be more aware, but in general, a lot of this can just kind of happen behind the scenes. Like our mind just does this automatically and we don't even notice. It's very subconscious. And in some cases, sabotage, yes, is subconscious. But I think for a lot of people, that recognition starts coming in when this sabotage comes up. It starts becoming more conscious, or at least there's this acknowledgement that that's what's going on. And it doesn't mean that you can stop it. It doesn't mean anything like that. It's just we have an awareness built around sabotage a little bit. Because of course, I think most of us know sabotage looks like being on the brink of success in any area of your life, achieving any sort of goal, anything that you really desire, and then never actually getting it because you do something to make that not the case. You think something to make that not the case. You never actually get there. It's a big deal. There's a lot of sabotage out there for all of us. And it helps because we can see it. Like I said, I think a lot of people are pretty aware that that's what's happening. And now I think if we can, again, the layers of the onion continue to uncover, because I think also a lot of people are aware enough about sabotage to know there's something else going on, to know that there's more layers of the onion to peel back. And knowing more about the upper limit problem means that you have more layers to explore if you are someone that sabotages. And then fear is the last one. Number five, fear, being scared to get out of your comfort zone, which happens a lot. And I think that even without any upper limit problem, you can still have that fear. And it's actually, I love how he talks about fear in the book. And he actually references another person that I don't remember right now. But if you read it, you'll see it. They talk about fear as excitement without the breath. So as soon as you feel fear, but then breathe with it, like deep breaths, like put oxygen into it, it becomes excitement and can even go so far as being exhilaration with enough breath. But fear is really the same mechanism in our body as excitement. It's just when we are fearful, when we're scared, we don't breathe. And that leads our body to seize up and not do anything and make it feel like this scary experience. Whereas if you just breathe, then it becomes excitement. And that is really a good place to think about fear too, especially in terms of doing new things, getting out of your comfort zone, facing the possibility that it may not succeed, that it might be a failure, that you might be judged, all these things that we fear, especially in business when we're putting ourselves out there in a new way. It also can be exciting, like just as easily can be exciting. So it's not that you're not going to feel that same sensation. It's what do you do with it? It's do you breathe, get excited and push through and go anywhere? Or do you stop breathing, let it cramp up your body and use it as a means to not move forward? Kind of got on a tangent about fear, but I just love that. And it is in the book and it really makes a ton of sense. And you'll understand if you read that. But fear is something that shows up everywhere about everything, especially when we're talking about our ego voice, our subconscious programming, our limiting beliefs, our stories, all these things. It shows up. And it shows up when you have an upper limit problem, of course. So I hope now you have an idea of how this may look. I hope the story that I shared helps you to see how it legit happens. Like it is a real thing when you have something that you're moving through, when you have something that's going to bring you to the next level. Quite often, you're going to have a block to move through. And sometimes that block can be through your thoughts, through your emotions, through your physical body. I had to move through that block before I could, and it kind of showed up as in my physical body as illness. I had to move through it before I could heal and just do the thing and be taken to that next level and be excited for that next level and be there for it. You have to move through it. So some tools to help you, I think, understand your upper limit problem, see if it's there, and then kind of set your thermostat a little higher. I think that's the ultimate goal, is to slowly get to the point where your thermostat is higher and higher and higher and higher, to where you are allowing in these experiences that will bring you ultimate happiness, ultimate success, ultimate wealth, ultimate love, whatever it is that you want in your life. First thing, of course, so really I have these in two different categories. Always starts with awareness. Always starts with awareness. What is your thermostat set at? And that's obviously a pretty challenging question to just answer outright. You're like, what am I? I don't know. I have no idea. So let me help you with some further questions. You can find out what your thermostat is set at by asking yourself and understanding, what have you deemed is possible for you? This is a great journal experience. What have you deemed is possible for you? Have you actually, and we talked about this in the money mindset episode, I believe, now it's all running together, but I think we talked about this in a recent episode where you have to really understand what you truly believe that you can do. If you have an upper limit problem, then do you really truly believe that you can and will make $1 million? Do you really truly believe that you can and will make $10 million? Do you really believe you can make $1,000, $100,000? Find out what you have deemed is possible for you. That's how you know more about your thermostat. And how successful are you willing to get? How much money are you willing to make? It's so funny when you change that word just a little bit and you say willing, because then it is very obvious that you are the one in control here, which we know, but I think we forget, and I don't think we're utilizing that power as good as we could. And the thermostat that you have set is keeping you from being able to use that power. So how successful are you willing to get? Are you willing to be a millionaire, to be a 10 millionaire? I don't know how you, whatever that is, to be a billionaire. How successful are you willing to get? How much money are you willing to make? Are you willing to have 10,000 followers, to have $100,000, to have 1 million followers? Are you willing? Super, super important answers to understand about yourself, and then get even deeper, another layer of the onion, and see how it's showing up in your life. How is it showing up in your life right now, understanding your thermostat that you currently have set? Is it showing up by you not making the money you want to make, not putting yourself out there, not starting your business, not doing what you want to do to grow your audience so more people know about your work? And so that's awareness. The one thing I want you to do here is, while you're understanding where your thermostat is currently set at, be super compassionate with yourself. Nothing is wrong with you for sabotaging yourself, for having an upper limit problem, for doing all these things to keep you from what you really, truly, actually want. Nothing is wrong with you other than your thermostat is set too low. And hey, guess what? You can absolutely 100% change that. Let's talk about how. I titled this entire little section on how to change your thermostat as Be Selfish. Be selfish. 5 different things under the be selfish category. Let's talk about them each. The first one, I had this vision when I was writing these notes of a bubble around you and your business and your success and your money, your bank account, whatever it is that you really want to change here, that cannot be penetrated by others' opinions, beliefs, and judgment. So what you do inside that bubble is no one else's business. And does that help you to know that there is a protection around what you're doing, the success that you're creating, the business that you're building, that no opinions, beliefs, judgments, stories, all this stuff coming in could get to? It's protected. You can do that. You can create that for yourself. You can create that safe space, that bubble around what you're doing, and not let anyone else in. Now, they might try, but if you know that that is going to weaken your thermostat, that's going to bring you back down, then you have to be the one to keep it out. You have to be the one to keep it from actually sinking in, actually affecting you, actually bringing that thermostat back down. So this is an exercise that obviously you can't physically build a bubble around your business. That'd be great if we could, but you can't physically do that, but you can mentally, emotionally, energetically do that and keep it safe, keep it protected from anything that might keep it from building, from growing, from being the success that you want it to be. I know it sounds probably really weird and cheesy that I'm saying this, but if you visualize it, I really think that this could be a powerful tool for anyone who is worried about what other people will think, what other people will say, what other people will judge you. You can create a bubble and build this amazing business inside that bubble. Be super happy inside that bubble. And don't worry about what everyone else is saying or doing. The second thing under the be selfish category is to celebrate you and your successes, no matter how big or small. Every single celebration that you can have for yourself, for every single thing that you do, that increases your thermostat a little more. So celebrate everything, knowing that it's increasing your thermostat when you do. All the little things that you do that are leading up to something bigger deserve recognition from you. Every time you do that, you are breaking down that upper limit problem. Number three, get comfortable in the good. Kind of goes with number two a little bit in celebrating all your mini successes, but also get comfortable feeling good. Feeling happy, feeling grateful, feeling excited, feeling successful. Get comfortable there. Expect yourself to feel that way more and more often. The more you can be in a space where you feel tingles of happiness, excitement, joy, gratitude, the more you can be there, the more you see it, the more you experience, the more you'll be able to let in. Again, little baby steps towards increasing that thermostat and where you have it set at. So get comfortable feeling good. It is more than okay. It is necessary. It is a necessity to feel as good as possible every single moment and to recognize, accept, and be comfortable in that good. Number four, we only have two left. Remember your worthiness. You're in charge of the goodness that you allow in. You deserve it. You are capable of it. It's going to happen when you believe that you are worthy of it. So remember that worthiness and take control of the good that comes in. So much of it is connected to worthiness. And if we can get back to that place where we understand our capabilities and our deservedness, then we get back in charge with how much good comes in. And the last one, number five, become more fascinated with your possibilities than you are with your stories. Let me read that again for the people in the back. This is a good overall just life thing. Become more fascinated with your possibilities than you are with your stories. We are obsessed with our stories. We are obsessed with these thermostats, unknowingly, subconsciously, but we're obsessed. But again, you are the one in control here. You are the one with the power, which means you have the ability to become even more obsessed, to turn the dial a little bit from this obsession with your stories and become obsessed, take that obsession towards your possibilities, towards what is happening for you, what you desire, how it's going to look, how it's going to feel. Become more fascinated with everything that is possible for you because now you have done the work, you've built the awareness around where you currently were and have set your demands higher. So now we have higher possibilities, higher things we're on our way to achieving. Become fascinated with those and let the stories go. let them take a back seat. Let's do it in little week increments. So just for this week, let your stories take a back seat and be focused and fascinated with your possibilities. And then next week, let's do that again. Next week, let's do that again. And let's keep going week by week until it becomes a habit. So those are a few tools for you to get started working on your upper limit problem. As I mentioned, I don't think that there's a human out there that doesn't deal with this in some area of their life. So you are not alone. There is nothing wrong with you at all. But what I do want you to see is that when you can find out more about this, when you can build awareness in yourself about these things, then you can see the reasons, the backing behind why things may not have been going the way you want them to up until now, and what you can do from an inner perspective, from the inside out, to create the space, to create the ability for it to go beyond and you actually build the dream life and business you desire. So it is not just about, oh, I need to do this, this, and this in my business to build my dream business. What is going on internally that even if you were to build all those things out in your business, it still wouldn't happen? Because that is what happens a lot. You can do all of the outer work, build all of these things, and it still doesn't happen because you are stuck here. Because you haven't looked at your thermostats yet, and your thermostat is set on you having a struggling business and you having a struggling bank account. So figure this stuff out first and then build your business with this in mind. All right, that was a big topic. Like I mentioned, if this fascinates you at all, I highly recommend the book The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It's a very well-known book, so I'm sure you probably have heard it before, but so, so good, and do highly recommend that. All right, my friends, we will leave it at that for today. If this episode resonated with you at all, share it with a friend. Share it with someone else that you know that might be working on building a business, might be thinking about starting a business, might be trying to reach that next level of success for themselves. And let them know that there are some resources available to take them to the next level in their business, in their lives, in their relationships, whatever it is. I would be so grateful if you spread the word and share this message with someone that might need it as well. All right, my friends, until next time, take care. Hey friend, real quick before you go, don't forget to head over to my website and take the quiz to find out your solopreneur personality type. I've created a super fun, super informative 2-minute quiz that will show you which one of the 4 solopreneur personality types you fall into. Could it be the boss, the socialite, the visionary, or the supporter? Which one are you? Not only is it just fun to know more about yourself, especially as it relates to your business, but it's also really important information so you can be sure that you're building a business that works for you based on your energy, your personality, and your desires. Did you ever take those quizzes from the Cosmopolitan magazine back in the day? It's kind of like that, but with actual solid questions and real helpful tips and advice at the end. You can find the What's Your Solopreneur Personality Type quiz right on the homepage of my website at seanminer.com. Head there now to take the quiz, then let me know over on Instagram at UnstuckEntrepreneur what your type is. I'll see you over there.